Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
We'll now turn in your Bible. Psalm 119 is a psalm about God's Word. Certainly, to honor God means to honor His Word. This psalm teaches us how to do that. Shows us it's important. Now let's go into the 119th psalm. And let's think about God's Word. Verse 89 through 91. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thine ordinances. For all things are Thy servants. You understand the power of the Word of God and what that is? Then consider the heavens and the work of His fingers, the moon and the stars, which He has ordained, the psalmist said. You know what the word ordained means? It means He gave the orders. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. This world is here and the heavens are here because of what God has done. Now there's the power of God's Word. God did not consult with man when He did this, did He? Laws that God have that govern the natural world, the natural laws that govern the natural world are absolute. They don't depend on what we think about them. We didn't give God our counsel and how they ought to be, or expect God to consider our thoughts in that. We know that God just did that. It says in the book of Job, in Job chapter 38, in verse 33, God asked Job, "Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven?" And then Paul would exclaim in the book of Romans, talking about God's will and God's work, "Who hath been His counselor?" God did this. And then I thought about how Jesus would pray and teach us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The heavens don't argue with God, do they? That they just go about doing His will. Now we get to choose. They don't choose, but we choose. But let us choose to do God's will with the faithfulness of the heavenly bodies and how they respond to His will. He told His apostles in Matthew 16 in verse 19, "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." And the correct tenses on that and the verbs and all are such that what you bind on earth, it will already have been bound in heaven. God is sovereign and supreme. And He presents His law to us. As we come to understand the mind of God and to study His law by studying this book, we need to come to this book with the same attitude of humility that we come to when we study the heavens and try to study the laws that govern the universe. We don't have input into them and we don't try to change them or persuade God to do something different. And it doesn't matter what we think about them, they stay the same. So also it is the humility with which we need to come to God's law for us in this life. And to honor that law just the same. It's up for us to learn from God. We're not going to teach God something. We're going to humble ourselves and we're going to learn from God about His law. In verse 92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in my afflictions." Afflictions, difficulties in this life. We have a song, "Like a Bridge Over Troubled Waters." Song about what one person's going to mean to another, but that's what God's Word means to us. This is our bridge over troubled waters. When we get in those hardships of life, be they emotional or physical or whatever they may be, this is what can see us through. The strength that we gather from God's Word and the hope that that gives us and the directions that that gives us, we can make it across those troubled waters. And then that great gratitude we feel on the other side and that great obligation and knowing by using God's Word, its power to help us through this life, the dedication we have to that I think is expressed in some of these other verses. Look in verse 93. "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I've sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. The devil's got all kinds of schemes to try to ensnare us and to bring us down, but they don't work. He says, I will consider thy testimonies. God's law will see us through that. And then verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. It's been said that you look at the works of man, and how beautiful and wonderful they are. You look closer and closer and closer, and you'll see hidden flaws in the best that we can do. And you look at the works of God, and you work closer and closer and closer at them, and you'll discover hidden beauties. We see it in the natural world. We see it in the Bible itself. The more we look into the Bible and read it, on the surface it's beautiful, but dig deeper and deeper and deeper and sound its depths. Still, there's more to learn and explore and to think about and to marvel at the wisdom of God and the wonder that's expressed to us in that Word. And so while we can look to the end, think of the word end there as the limits. The limits of what we're able to perfect, there's no limits to God. It is exceeding broad. You can't see to the limits of the perfection of the things that God has done. So also it is as we come to study His Word. The next eight verses begin with the first word of each verse. Begin with that Hebrew letter, Mem. I think of the 119th Psalm of all the sections. This one I would probably call my favorite. If I could pick a favorite among them, it would be this one. It captures the significance of Psalm 119 in verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. You think about the things you love. You'll think about that. Something important on your mind, you just keep thinking about it. You know, when you're a young man, you fell in love with your sweetheart, she's on your mind all the time, wasn't she? Everything you did, you're thinking about her. Maybe it's a new car you want, you're thinking about it, and it just stays on your mind. And that's the way the Word of God needs to be to us. We need to love this Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth He meditate day and night. Let Bible study be part of your life, and then as you're studying this Word, think about that through the day. Think about the significance of it. How does it apply? Let those things be on your mind. Never let the Word of God be far from you. One Bible may not be enough. You might need one by your bedside. You might need another one by your TV because you might be watching TV and think of something and want to grab it. I'm going to see what the Bible says about that. You might need one at your desk at work. You're thinking about God's Word at work. And as you're going about your work and thinking of it in terms of what God's taught, I want to look at that. I think that was over here and look that up and read that. You might want one in your shirt pocket that you can just take with you. Have one in your car and handy. One Bible might not be enough for you. Have some around where they're accessible to you and where you can think about that all the day long. That's how the Word of God entering into your heart will transform your life. You've got to dwell on that and think about that. This 119th Psalm has been called a sacred soliloquy of the Holy Scriptures. Well, that just simply means it's a single person, single thought expressing their personal thoughts about the Word of God. You need to be able to sing a psalm like this on how the Bible, what the Bible has meant to you in your life. And so love that law. Think about it through the day. In verse 98, Thou through Thy commandments have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they're ever with me. They're those that don't want you to do what's right. The devil doesn't want you to. He'll use other servants about that will want to compromise you and destroy your faith. But if you'll dwell on God's Word, if they'll ever be with you, why, you'll be smarter than they are. You will be wiser than they are and outsmart them, not because you're more brilliant than they are, but because the Word of God and the humble approach to that will lead you through those things. In verse 99, every student needs to know this. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Tell you what, your teachers can do you a lot of good. You need to go before your teachers with humility to learn what they have to say. But your teachers are not the ultimate authority, even on the subjects of their expertise. They are not. God's Word is the final authority. And there's many, many things that teachers will teach you, students in school and college students and those of us that seek adult education and such. There's many, many things that teachers will teach you that just doesn't square with what God says. Now, you remember that verse, and you might want to write that in the margin of your biology book when it starts talking about how we all just evolved from single-cell organisms over eons of time by natural forces. Write this up, that I know more than my teachers do about that. Because they'll teach you about evolution, but you've got God's Word talking about where we came from and what we're all about. You take it to your philosophy class or to those classes where the teachers like to philosophize anyway. A lot of times they get out of their subjects into their own philosophies while they're teaching. And they'll tell you things that just don't square with what God's Word says. If you know what the Bible says, well, you'll be able to take those things that the teacher lays out before you and weigh their value and know how to receive the good and reject the evil. You'll know more about those things than your teacher if you know what the Bible says about those things. And then it says in verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Young people, I hope you honor the elderly. I hope you realize that they've gone through life and they've learned some things for you. And they can show you a lot. And they don't know a lot of the things that you might know that you think are important. They know a lot of those things are trivia. And it's just not of interest anymore. Because through their life, they've learned to focus in on the most important things, and there's a lot that your elders can teach you, but they're not the absolute authority, young people. A lot of times when we think of those who want to bring innovations in the church and those who want to spread false doctrine, we think of young preachers. It's not always young preachers. Sometimes it's old preachers that will do this as well. The Bible is the standard, not the Word of man. An old person that is really wise is an old person that is wise in the knowledge of God's Word. And you can take all the advice you get from the elderly, and you should be humble and receive that with grace. And yet, take every bit of it and see what God's Word has to say about that. There's a beautiful passage in the book of Job that describes that. If you look over at Job 32... it's a very fascinating study in Job of these Job in his misery and his three friends that come and sit with him, and they don't understand why Job is suffering. They draw the wrong conclusion and they have a long discussion about why is it that men become miserable and what is the cause of their problems, and they don't understand it. But in Job chapter 32, in verse 4, we're introduced to another character named Elihu, a younger man, not mentioned among the three elders. And it says, Elihu, in verse 4, he waited until Job had spoken because they were elder than he. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you my opinions. I said, they should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty hath given them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Not always. Not always. But God's Word is always. And so be respectful to your elders. And learn from them what you can. But anytime anyone tells you anything, whether it be a teacher or an elder, it differs from God's Word. God's Word is right. And you can weigh all things you're taught by man by that standard. It says in verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. You keep the word, it'll keep you out of trouble. It says here in verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. That means that the person that can say that is one that's willing to be taught, one that's willing to listen. And it is wonderful, it's good. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then look at verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Now compare that with how this began. Oh, how love I thy law. And it ends, I hate every false way. Seems like sometimes there's some people that they don't care whether it's true or false. It's just not important to them. Doctrine's not important, they'll say. It doesn't matter whether it's true or whether it's false. They'll judge it by, well, what were they passionate about it? Were they sincere about it? Did they deliver it well? Those things take precedence. But in the Bible, the truth takes precedence. Those who do not hate the false, that's tied to the fact that they do not hate the false because they do not love the truth. Because of the love of the truth and the hate of the false, see, they go hand in hand together. Look at the next verse in the next section. The section begins with the letter nun. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many of our songs bring that sentiment out in those songs? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Many of you know that I'll often walk back and forth between the church building and my house. I'll walk through the woods. And sometime when it's dark, I've tried to walk home through the woods in the dark. Now, I've done that 100 times. But I'll tell you what, I'll get out there in the dark and I'll get disoriented. I've tried to walk home in the dark through the woods and I'm thinking I'm on the path and I realize, you know, this is not where I thought I was supposed to be. And I'm confused, I'm disoriented, and I've had to back up and come back out, unable to get home. But sometimes I'll bring a light with me. I'll take the little light off my bicycle, handlebar, and stick it in my pocket. And then when I go home, I'll just turn the light on, and I can see my way right through the woods, no problem. I know right where to go. I know how to direct my steps. That's what the Bible does for you. It's the light to your path. You try to take this life on, you try to walk through this life without any light to guide you, you're going to be disoriented. You're going to get out of the way and you're going to be lost. You take this light, let it shine on your path. Let it show you the way. It's not that hard. You'll find your way. You'll find the right path. And you've got God's Word to guide you. It says, I have sworn I will perform it, but I will keep thy righteous judgments. Now, that's got to be your obligation. You know, sometimes we make promises and sometimes we make them foolishly. If you ever make a promise, and the events come out that in order to keep that promise, you've got to violate God's Word, then you remember that you first promised to follow God's Word. That's where your first obligation is. Go ahead and make that promise to the Lord. Now, don't break that promise. If you make promises where you can't fulfill them all, you keep this one. And you make that the precedent. You promise to follow God's Word, swear to do it and perform it. I'm afflicted very much, Psalm 107. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And we've discussed how that it helps us through our problems. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. That tells us something about how God has made man. Now, let's look at verse 108. Except I beseech thee, the three will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. The free will offerings of my mouth. Now that's our worship. Reminded me of what I read about in the book of Hebrews. It's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. And so what we give to God with our mouth, the worship that we give to God, if we want that to be acceptable to God, then we need to worship God according to His Word. And so it says there, the free will offerings of thy mouth, O Lord, teach me thy judgments. If our worship is to be acceptable in His sight, our worship needs to be done according to His will. And then in verse 9, my soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. God's made us as free agents. We get to choose. God has given each of us eternal soul. It's in your hands. That means you can do with that what you want to. It's up to you. So you are going to choose. You do have the power of choice. It's in your hands. What will you do with it? You can determine to keep God's Word. That's the choice you need to make. And let's look at this. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from my precepts. Oh, there are those that want to entrap you. They've laid a snare for you. I'll tell you, you will frustrate them. They will be amazed at how easily you slip through their snares when you just determine to do what's right. I love the preacher in Florida that taught my children. He said it once, he said it over and over and over. You kind of knew this man by his saying this. It's always right to do what's right. It's always wrong to do what's wrong. It's never right to do what's wrong. It's never wrong to do what's right. And that's right because the Bible is right. And you just let that say that over and over until you remember that. You'll slip right through the snares of the wicked one. Thy testimonies have I taken as my heritage forever. They're the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. You take God's Word as your heritage. You take it as your very own. And stay with it to the end, so that when you breathe your last, they'll say of you, they were faithful to their God. Verse 113 says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. What you need to expect out of your preacher is preaching that comes from God's Word. I try to always be polite, and sometimes that's hard to do. But Lori and I went to hear a fellow preach at a gospel meeting, and I was so looking forward to hearing God's Word preached, and I sat down, and it was just driving me crazy. That man was up there teaching on 10 ways to be happy, as described by Reader's Digest in an article he read. Now, they weren't bad things, but that was not preaching God's Word. And compared to what God's Word said, those are vain thoughts. That's just what some person had to say. And that ought not be the subject of our preaching. I remember years ago, I decided to, when I was preaching in West Tennessee for a little congregation, that once a month I'd bring a lesson that had to do with the home. And the relationships associated with the home and the family and marriage and things about that. And I knew there was just all kind of material out there about it. And so I made that determination and I got some of these books and materials, and as I'd read and read and read, I became so frustrated. So much of that material was just the thoughts of man. It wasn't what God said about that, and it wasn't that they were necessarily bad things, but it's just man's thoughts on those things. And they weren't Bible studies. And I determined if I'm going to do that, I'm going to go to the Bible and teach what the Bible has to say about these things. And I found abundant material in this book. I never ran out of material there. And so when we think of the things we're going to address and how do you evaluate a sermon, don't try to come to a sermon thinking about, well, now, is this preacher going to be brilliant and express to me some novel ideas and let us share his thoughts with us? No, make that preacher teach you what God's Word says. Now, I try to do that. I spend several hours every week. I spend my evening studying this, trying to think, how can I teach this? And I feel good about being able to open up and teach what God's Word says. That's my goal. And don't let me stray from that. And you evaluate preachers and you evaluate preaching based on that verse. Vain thoughts. I hate vain thoughts, but I love thy law. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. You can go to God's word as a place of refuge for your soul. It says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. This is one of those few verses in Psalm 119 that's not directed to God. But it's directed to all those who would pull you away from God. And then it says, uphold me, going back to God in prayer. Now, uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. I will have respect unto thy statutes continuously. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. You know what dross is? You mine the gold or the silver out of the ground and it's impure, and you submit it to the flame. And in the flame, the dross separates from the pure metals, and you can take the dross off and toss it away, and you're left with the pure gold. And all those things your teachers would teach you, and all those things that the aged would tell you, and all those things your preacher would say, take it and hold it up under the flame of God's Word, and let the dross go away, and hold on to that which comes forth as pure gold as tried by this Word. Psalm 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Does it make you tremble to read the Word of God and to approach that study? I hope it does. Liberals do not tremble. Liberals are not afraid. And that's what makes them liberals. They'll come to God's Word and they'll read what that says and they'll say, oh yeah, I see that's what the Bible says, but, and then they'll tell you what they think. And the Bible is something that would bind them or guide them or limit them or give them laws. They don't like laws. They don't like rules. That's what defines a liberal. And they come to God's Word and they do not tremble. We need to tremble before God. Repeatedly it tells us in here to respect His Word. And in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2, God says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. So let that be you. Do you tremble at God's Word? When Belshazzar saw the Word of God on the walls, he trembled. His knees smote one against the other. It was too late for him. Will you tremble at God's Word? If you will, if you won't argue with God, you'll say, I'm going to be obedient to you, God. I'll do just what you say. God has told us what to do. He's told us to turn from our sins, to confess His name before men, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins, and to live a life in keeping with these teachings. Do you tremble before that? Oh, may it be that you do.